Good morning, View Church Table View. I want to greet everyone in the room. It's so good to see your beautiful faces. You know, just your eyes. I'm really appreciating eyes this last year. Hey, who else is like noticing eyes? Just me. Okay, just me. welcome to Malfors, our online location, and Bloberg, and our WhatsApp church service. It's awesome to have you all here. But let's just open up in prayer while we're standing. Father God, we love you and we are here because of you. Because better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere, God. That'll be our mantra until the day we meet you in heaven. God, there's nothing more important than being in your house, than being in your presence. God, anything can happen in your presence. So God, we're expectant this morning. Won't you have your way in my heart, in our hearts. Move us, speak to us. God, I pray I will get out of the way and you will say what you want to say, and you will move us and we'll never be the same again. In Jesus' name, all the God's people said, amen. Awesome. You guys can take a seat. Great. So we're in the middle of our Help, I'm Struggling series. Who's finding it helpful? I'm finding it helpful because it's been a year, right? Like, it's been quite a year. It's been about 12 months now. We're in March since COVID started. It's been a year. I have a little personal testimony slash celebration. I got vaccinated last Sunday, which was pretty cool. Thank you, Jesus. I know it's still a controversial topic, but if you speak to me, I'm very for the vaccinations. I got the Johnson's & Johnson's one, and I'm so proud of our country and how fast it's moving. They've chosen the best vaccine with the least side effects, with the highest efficacy rates, and I believe if we carry on going like this quickly, we're going to be in a really good position. So we're blessed. I think good decisions are being made. I did feel a bit flu-y for 2 days. I pulled an Andre Mann flu moment. It was the first time that he's felt like me, and he actually had to, you know, but it was a bit rough, but it was worth it. I'd do it again in a second. Anyway, that's my 2 cents about the vaccine. This week, we're talking around the topic of help, I'm struggling with relationships. Can anyone here relate to that? Help, I'm struggling with relationships. Come on, let's be honest. This is a church, okay? We tell the truth in this building. COVID has put a strain on a lot of different types of relationships. You might have found that COVID, being in lockdown with your spouse, was hardcore, okay? Maybe you've never spent so many hours with your spouse and you guys have been butting heads and your marriage has taken a bit of a knock. That's a reality for a lot of people. Maybe your relationship with your children has been really tough this year because suddenly you're not just their mom, you're their teacher, you're their nanny, you're trying to teach them life skills, you're trying to get them to wash their freaking hands. Am I the only mother who struggles with that? When they come in the house, I'm like, wash your hands with soap. They're like, I use the sanitizer. I'm like, wash your hands with soap. And then I'm like, sing happy birthday. And then I like laugh to myself because they literally wash their hands for 3 seconds. And then I'm like, I'm actually winning in life, right? 3 seconds of soap and water, right? No one else struggles. Just my kids are dirty and unhygienic. But they don't want to wash their hands. And I'm a little bit OCD and I'm a doctor, so it gets to me. And there's all these things that put strain on our relationships. And, you know, maybe you even feel disconnected from your friends. You're in lockdown. You can't hang out. Maybe people who you were so close to, suddenly you're distant from them and you miss them and you feel like they've just chucked you. And you're like, I thought I was important to them. Like, and I'm not even their friend anymore. So I know there's people struggling with stuff like that. If I'm honest, I think I've struggled with every part of those relationship issues, especially the spouse part. Shh. Don't tell my husband. I'm joking. He's amazing. We work together anyway. So just butchering him up now because it's almost my birthday. His birthday is before mine, but still. I always remember his. So, you know, the women have to give lots of reminders, right? Okay. I'm going to stick to the notes because you'll hear later on in the story that I have a tendency to talk. So let's focus on the notes because I have some stuff I want to say. But relationships have taken a knock. And if you're saying to me, Leanne, my relationships are fine, I would probably say to you, listen, you're either in denial or you have a very low EQ. And that's not a diss, okay? I'm not saying you have a low IQ. I'm saying you probably have a low EQ. That's emotional intelligence, okay? We have a joke in my family that my dad has a very, very low EQ. You guys know what an EQ is, okay? You don't pick up the cues. But if you don't think you're struggling, you probably are. That's the reality. Okay, we're all on the same page. So, if we're struggling, what are we going to do about it? Well, when I was at school, I was a bit of a, I was a bit of a nerd, you could say. I enjoyed maths and physics. Not everyone enjoys maths and physics, but I enjoyed it. And what I loved about maths and physics was you could always find a solution, always. Because nobody writes a maths or a physics sum without an answer. It doesn't happen. There's always an answer. And when I had a maths or physics equation, I would go, okay, this is a challenge. And I love the feeling of getting the answer. I'm losing some of you. You're like, I hated maths and physics. But there's an awesome feat. I can't paint or draw, so I have to have something going for me, okay? I can't draw a stick man. So that feeling of getting the equation right. But when I had a tricky equation, I would always go back to basics. If I had my foundations right and I went back to the basics, you could work out anything. You know that exam pressure, the clock's ticking? It was like, go back to the basics. Have a strong foundation. My oldest daughter is in grade 3 right now and she's learning her timetables and I've already sat her down. And I'm like, Juliana, these timetables are so important. Andre's like, Juliana, you should be playing with the ball. And I'm like, Juliana, timetables will take you far. So different parenting strengths. And I'm like, this is the foundation of your mathematical career, you know? And I'm like, you need to know, I'm like, girl, you need to fire these off, you know? So what's 4 times 2? Like, she doesn't have 3 seconds, she has to say 8. You know, like she learns it like that. You guys are judging me again. I promise you it's going to take her far. But she's learning it. And I'm saying to her, these are your foundations. This is gonna build your mathematics for the rest of your life until you get to matric or if you study further. And really what I'm trying to get at is in 2021, there has never been a time in our lives where we need the basics like we do right now. Because the world is feeding us a whole load of hogwash. You go on TV, you watch Netflix, you go on Instagram. There is so much hogwash being thrown at us that people are saying is the truth. That's not the truth. That if we don't go back to the basics, we're going to be very confused people. Are you with me, church? Come on. I need you guys to interact with me. Is that cool? Because I feed off you guys. So I'm going to ask you to interact, even if it's painful. Is that okay? It's a sacrifice this morning. Do it for me, please. I've been up since 5 a.m. So this is what you do in return. Is that cool? Thumbs up. Okay, awesome. So Jeremiah 6, verse 16. This is really what I felt on my heart for this morning, the key scripture. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look and ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it and you will find rest for your souls. And this is what I believe God is saying to us. In 2021, after a year of madness where the world has been turned upside down and everyone's gone crazy and the truth is distorted, look for the ancient paths. Ask what is good, and you are going to walk in peace, and you're going to find rest for your soul. Who would like some rest for their soul in 2021? Who would like some peace? Come on, we are going to look at the ancient paths. Our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. we've got a foundation to look at and to build our lives on. Amen? We've got some good biblical truth. Sometimes when I think about our limited understanding of relationships, I think about, obviously I have two little girls, so I think about my youngest child who listens to everything. Anyone else have a child who listens to everything? Everything. Okay, that, there we, Zara's like you. Zara listens to everything, but she pretends she's not listening, okay? So you get your guard down. She's very strategic. So she just minds her own business, and we don't think she's listening, but she's listening. It's dangerous. And sometimes I feel, because she's, the story I'm going to tell you happened last year. She was five. I feel like our view on relationships is like we're these little five-year-olds listening to our parents talk, using big words, and we get this weird, limited understanding of what they're saying. We interpret it in our five-year-old minds, and we actually don't get the right picture. We misunderstand. So what happened to me last year was Zara has a friend called Harper. They actually are betrothed, which I'm quite happy about because he's a star golf player at six. So I'm like, Zara, you picked well. And he loves Jesus. That's the most important thing. And Harper and his parents go to, they're at our Malpus location. They were in Tableview and they live in Malpus. So now they're part of the Malpus location. If the Flemings are watching, we love you guys. Susie's probably working in kids' church. She's amazing. That's Harper's mom. So the one day I get this concerned WhatsApp from Susie. She's like, Leanne, is everything okay? And I'm like, and I carry on reading. She says, because Harper came home and said, Zara told him that her mommy has purple diarrhea. Are you okay, my friend? So I think my cheeks went purple. You know, when they go so red, they actually go purple. Before I reply, I'm like, Zara? Yes, mommy, come here. Did you tell Harper I have purple diarrhea? She's like, yeah. I don't know who else she told. She says, yes, I did. I said, why would you tell him I have purple diarrhea? You know? So she says, because I heard you telling Daddy last night, Mommy. You said to Daddy, I have purple diarrhea. And then it hit. I said, Zara, I told Daddy I have verbal diarrhea. I was like, now we're going to have an English lesson, okay? But you guys get the point. Anyway, I messaged Susie back. I was like, my bowels are fine. There's nothing purple. I said, you know, I speak too much. I was telling Andre I speak too much. It's a big joke between us now. When we miss each other, she's like, my friend, we need to hook up for some tea. We need some purple diarrhea time. It's a big joke. Okay. But the point is, I want you guys to get a picture of this. We have this distorted image of what relationships are, what a healthy relationship is. It's like a five-year-old listening to their parents, thinking they understand, completely missing the boat. Are you guys getting a picture? And what I really want us to go back to, again, are the ancient ways. See, in order for a relationship to be healthy and to really work, we've got to let the one who designed relationships define relationships. Are you with me? We spoke about this in the loneliness series. God designed relationships. He wanted company, so he made man. And then he said it's not good for man to be alone, so he made woman. God designed relationships. We go to him to find out what a healthy relationship looks like. John 10, verse 10, it says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come so that you can have life and have it to the full. I believe in COVID-19, in this season of chaos, relationships have been attacked. Anyone with me? Relationships have been attacked. The devil's always on the lookout for an opportunity. And a season like COVID, he will attack marriages, he will attack relationships with kids, he will attack friendships. I'm going to be a little bit like vulnerable with you guys. I'm just going to be honest. I don't know why I always do this at church. Okay, you guys know all my secrets. You know I'm a very imperfect pastor. You know that. But my biggest personal conviction in lockdown about relationships, I felt God clearly say this to me. He said, Leanne, the people that you should be the kindest to, that you should be the most gracious with, that you should show the most mercy to are Andre and your children. Not the stranger at the shopping center, not the colleague that you want to impress, not the person in the church who you're playing the pastor role to, but to the people who love you the most unconditionally. Because you know what we do? We treat our family like punching bags, and we're super nice to everyone else. Or is it just me? And God said, get it right. You're the nicest. Andre should get the most compassion. Andre should get, you should be the kindest. He's loving this sermon. He's going to record it and play it for me every morning. But I felt convicted. I'm being honest. I felt terrible when I had this revelation, you know, because these are the people that love me the most. They should get the best from me, you know. And that's not to say I should treat other people badly, but it starts at home. It starts in the private place. Who are you when nobody's watching? Hey? So it's so easy to build a reputation. That's who people think you are. But character is who you are when nobody's watching. And that's the tough part. But anyway, that was just a side note. That was just me being vulnerable, and now Andre can hold me to that. In the New Testament, we've got the disciples and a whole bunch of people learning from Jesus. And they ask him in Matthew chapter 22, verse 36 to 39. They say, teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Okay, we just want the greatest commandment. And Jesus replies, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And they're like, awesome. And I think Jesus had a bit of purple diarrhea because he went on. I'm joking. He didn't have purple diarrhea. He said it for a reason. You guys are a tough crowd this morning. And he said this. He said, and the second is love your neighbor as you love yourself. And they were probably a bit like, but we just asked you for one. And he's going, no, they go hand in hand. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. If you love God and you don't love people, you don't love God. It's a tough pull to swallow, but you can't say I love God, but people drive me mad. Because people are God's children. They're his prized possession. I am a mother. I understand this now since becoming a mother. You tell me you're my friend and you treat my children badly, you are not my friend. Mama Bear will come out. She's scary. Your car is terrified. At least I know I can trust her with my kids from now on. And you might be thinking, Leanne, you don't know what you're talking about. You're talking rubbish here, okay? You've got two children. God's the parent of every kid in the every person in the universe. You have no idea what some of his children have done to me. You have no idea how I've been treated. You have no idea how unfair it's been on me. You have no idea what I've had to put up with. And I'd say, you're right, I don't know. And I'm sure a lot of horrible, unfair stuff has happened to you. I agree, I don't know. But what I do know is that there is someone in heaven who does know, who loves you fiercely, and he's got your back. And he's saying to you, if you will follow the ancient ways that he has set out, you will walk in peace, you will flourish, you will heal. And he's got an amazing future for you, but you've got to do it his way. Are you with me, church? He knows what he's doing. He loves you. Follow the ancient ways. He's big, he's powerful, and he is personal. He keeps track of the amount of hairs that you have on your head. It's very easy to keep track of the amount of hairs that you have on your head. I don't know if you're napping right now, but or you're just resting your eyes. But it's easy for him to keep track. But even the people with the bushiest hair, he keeps track of the amount of hairs you have on your head. He is a personal God. And we've spoken about this again in the end times. People are going to be easily offended, right? It's very easy to offend people. It's very easy, okay? But it's difficult to get people to forgive you. One of the biggest keys, and probably something I would say, if you remember anything that I'm saying to you this morning, I'd want you to remember this. And I think this is probably the main point of this sermon. The forgiven forgive. That's the key. The forgiven forgive. I've been forgiven of a lot. So I owe a lot of forgiveness. And we're going to dive into that a little bit deeper. But just quickly, I'm watching the clock. Why do we struggle so much with forgiveness? First thing, we have a wrong understanding of what forgiveness is. And we've spoken about this about 2 years ago with John Bevere's book, The Bait of Satan. But he says, you know, we don't understand what forgiveness is. So forgiveness is not minimizing what you went through, okay? It's not telling you to be a doormat. Forgiveness is not reconciliation even, because reconciliation is a two-way street. You can forgive someone, and they don't even think they did anything wrong. There's no reconciliation, but in your heart, you've forgiven them. Are you with me? So you don't have to be their best friend to have forgiven them. And forgiveness is also not forgetting what happened. So you can say, I'm not going to be bound up and held by unforgiveness. I'm not going to have amnesia and get knocked over the head. I'm going to remember this, but I can still forgive. Are you guys with me? Okay, so that's the first thing. We have a wrong understanding. Second thing, the reason why we struggle to forgive. We don't think it's fair. Why should I forgive them? Why? They hurt me. Lockdown's been 12 months. I was one of their best friends. They phoned me 3 times. I WhatsApp them. They don't reply. Then I hear they're hanging out with so-and-so. They don't have time for me. Why should I forgive them? Or it could be something really serious. Maybe your ex had an affair, broke your heart. Why on earth should you forgive them? Matthew 18, verse 21 to 35. It's Peter coming to Jesus. And he says, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? And you know Peter's like always trying to impress Jesus. So he's like, up to 7 times, you know, like 7's a holy number. I'm a holy man. And Jesus says, I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times 7. Okay, and that was just per day. Okay, so Jesus is talking about the importance of forgiveness. And then he goes on with the parable. And he says this. He says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And as he began the settlement, a man owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him, okay? Now, just to give you guys some perspective, 10,000 talents, if we had to convert it into 2021, apparently, this is what I researched, would be the equivalent of $5 billion, okay? Put that into rand. It's like 100 million rand, hey? No. Is it not? It's somewhere around there. A little bit less, okay? It's a lot of money, right? So he owes this guy almost 100 billion rand. And the master is like furious and he says, listen, you and your wife and your children are going to be sold as slaves. And that's your punishment. And this guy gets on his knees and he begs for forgiveness. And he's saying, please, I will pay back everything. And the story goes that the master took pity on him and he actually canceled all his debts. And he said, just go. Just like, I forgive you, go. The same man then goes and finds a fellow servant who owes him 100 denarii, which was like a fraction of the amount of money. He grabs the guy, starts to choke him, and gets him thrown in jail. Okay, the community find out. They tell the master who pardoned him, and the master is furious. He calls him and he says, you wicked servant, I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me. and you couldn't show mercy on your fellow servant like I showed on you. And in his anger, he handed him over to the jailers to be tortured. And they said, you're going to be tortured until you can pay back the, how much should we say? 100 billion rand. Okay, that's hardcore. But again, what is this parable trying to tell us? Forgiven people forgive. Are you with me? C.S. Lewis says, to be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. Third reason why we don't forgive is we don't think we can do it. We just think, I can't do it. It's too much. He hurt me too much. It's too big. And the only thing I want to say about that is Philippians 4 verse 13 says, you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. So whatever's happened to you, God, you can forgive. God will help you. Just practically, we're going to get practical for a moment. How do we heal relationships that are broken? We're going to go through this quickly. The first thing is we pray. We pray for those that have hurt us. Matthew 5, verse 43 to 44, it says, you've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Anybody here pray for people that persecute you? Anyone? Awesome. It's powerful. I've been doing it for years. I didn't like it when I started doing it. Even now when someone hurts me, because I have a motto, soft heart, thick skin. Listen, like in ministry, people, like, you're going to get offended. In life, you're going to get offended. So soft heart, thick skin. So to do that, every day I've got a list of people. I'm like, God, I choose to forgive them and then bless them. And when I started, it's never fun. It never feels nice. But the more you pray, the easier it gets. You guys are with me. It's powerful. Second thing is, the Bible says in Luke 6, verse 27 to 28, but I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, and bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. So the second thing we can do is we can actually bless our enemies. Okay, now this challenged me. I'll tell you why, because I had a revelation when I read this. How do you bless your enemy? You don't have to go and buy them something and be super fake and, you know. But I think the most powerful way we can bless our enemies is with our mouths. And, you know, I can have somebody really hurt me and I have every right to feel hurt. And this is what I'll do. I'll come home to my husband and I'll go, you know what? It's my husband. It's my safe place. He's my lightning rod. This is okay. And I'll offload on him. So-and-so did this, and they did that, and, you know, I just really think they have a problem with this, and, you know, and I'll offload on him, and a lot of the time he lets me, he shouldn't. He's a spiritual leader in the house, so I actually blame him for this. But I feel like it's okay, but it's not okay, because with my mouth, the Bible says we can either give blessings or curses. And even if they've hurt me, I want to be a person who speaks a blessing over them. God will sort it out. The Bible says you eat the fruit of your lips. So you might be justified in being upset, but you're going to eat the fruit of your lips. Does that make sense? I have a choice that I refuse to speak badly. Even if they've hurt me, even if they deserve it, I'm going to zip it. And I haven't got this right. This is something I'm working on, but it's something that I want to do, and that has challenged me. We're running out of time. It's the purple diarrhea. Third thing, do good to them. Do good to them. Romans 12, verse 17 to 21. It says, don't repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what's right in the eyes of everybody. I'm going to jump down. God says, it's mine to avenge. I will repay. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. And in doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. And a lot of you are going, yes, burning coals on his head. Come on, who's feeling like that? I felt like that. I'm like, that's right. Jesus will heap the burning coals. And then I did some theological study. And that's not what it means at all, guys. So, is that Sam going, oh, so somebody's really upset. In the ancient Middle Eastern times, especially in winter, if you didn't have burning coals in your house, you would die, okay? You would freeze to death, or you wouldn't be able to make food. And so a neighbor would come and heap some burning coals into your house so you could survive. So this verse is actually saying, physically bless them. It's out there. That God's saying, hey, we don't overcome evil with evil. God's pretty much saying, kill them with kindness, and it's pray for their salvation. It's a challenge. But that, we're going to go back to the ancient ways, aren't we? I want peace in 2021. I want rest for my soul. I'm going to go back to the ancient ways. The forgiven forgive. And yes, it's not fair. But I've said this before, I'm so glad that I don't get fair. Because if I got fair, I would be in a lot of trouble, church. It's not fair that Jesus came to earth, lived a perfect life, didn't make a single sin, and then went to the cross and paid the price for every dirty lie and sin that I ever have and ever will commit. It's not fair. Are you with me? I'm so glad I don't get fair. I would be in big, big trouble. And it brings me to my last point. Just in closing, we're going to have healthy relationships. We have to ask Jesus for his heart, for his people. We say, God, I want to live as a forgiven person. I want to be reminded every day that you went to the cross and that I'm forgiven. And now I can live with forgiveness. And I can, when someone hurts me, I'm not going to go to my husband and talk and talk and talk. I'm going to bless that person with my mouth because I've been forgiven of so much. I've been given so much grace. I'm going to give grace away. In Luke 15, I wanted to read you guys the parable of the lost lamb, but for time, I don't think I can. But you guys know that parable. Jesus is sitting with the tax collectors and all the bad guys, and the Pharisees are like, oh, why is he sitting with the criminals? And then Jesus gives the parable of the lost sheep. And he says, you know, there was a shepherd who had 100 sheep and one went missing. And he left all 99 and he searched and he searched and he searched until he found that one sheep. And then he came home and he threw a massive celebration because he found that one lost sheep. That's the God we serve. He is so in love with every single one of us. He would leave this whole congregation to find one of us that went missing. And that's why this is a come as you are church. This is a church who says, we're not here to make Christians fat. We're not going to feed you every Sunday and make you fat. We exist for the unsaved. We want to get people into heaven. This is Jesus's heart. It actually says in that parable, he celebrates more over that one lost soul than over the 99 that were never lost in the first place. We need to have that heart for people where we want to see hull emptied and heaven populated. We're on a mission. Is that you today? Is that how you wake up in the morning? Are you on a mission? Are you worried about that lost sheep? Or are you worried about yourself? Are you worried about your tax returns? Are you worried about your job? Are you worried about... I'm talking to myself here. Or are we thinking about eternity? But just quickly, in an attitude of worship, I want everyone just to bow their heads. I want to pray for all of us that we are going to live 2021 in the ancient ways. Where we're going to do things God's way. We're going to forgive because we're forgiven. We're going to love. We're going to reach out. We're going to live with eternity in mind. But we can't do that. You see, you can't be a forgiven person and then give away forgiveness if you've never received forgiveness. Are you with me? Forgiven people forgive. But if you've never received forgiveness, how are you going to forgive? How are you going to live in that freedom? And if you have never given your life to Jesus and accepted his forgiveness, he died on that cross for you because he loves you and you are valuable to him. Don't let it be for nothing. I want to give you an opportunity at every location. If you have not given your life to Jesus, every person's head is bowed out of respect. If you're saying, I want to give my life to Jesus, I want to accept this forgiveness so I can live this life and I can give forgiveness too. Then with every head bowed, and maybe you've prayed this prayer a long time ago, but you know you need to pray it again. With every head bowed, I'm going to count to three and only my eyes are open and I just want to see so I can pray for you. One, God so loved the world. Two, that he gave his one and only son. Three, so whoever believes in him could have eternal life. You can stick your hand up, anyone who's saying, I want to receive that forgiveness. I want to give my life to Jesus. Is there anyone here this morning in any of our locations? You just pop your hand up and we'll just pray with you. Awesome. We're going to pray as a church, just quickly. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for paying the price for my sins. Thank you that I can walk in your forgiveness. I give my life to you today. Thank you that I'm yours now forevermore. And you are mine. In Jesus' name. And the whole of heaven has a party when one person prays that prayer. Just quickly, I want to pray for us. 10-second prayer. Can you guys just remain in this attitude of worship? God, we just surrender to you as View Church Table View in every location as your children. God, we're saying we don't want to live 2021 in our own strength. We don't want to live it with our own ideas. We want to live it following the ancient paths, God. We want to do things your way. So we pray, God, that as forgiven people, we will live forgiven. We will dish out forgiveness, God. I pray it will flow out of us. I pray healthy relationships will flow out of us. And God, that you will use us powerfully, Lord, to populate heaven and empty out hell. Protect us, bless us, keep us. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen.
Amen. Awesome. Come on, let's thank Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for us. You've forgiven us. Thank you, Jesus.